This podcast is part of Mishmash Media. Hey folks, Ivan here. Just letting you know that the following episode was recorded in the year 2020 for Patreon, and it was the first time we watched it, so some things we say may be a bit out of date. We hope you enjoy it anyhow. Hey folks.
Hey, how you going?
Good, good. Welcome to another episode of Curbcast. My name is Ivan.
And I'm Stephen.
And we are a bit less than halfway through season two of Curbcast, and each week we get an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm in chronological order, and we review it scene by scene. And this week it is episode four of season two, The Shrimp Incident. A nice reference to the comeback from Seinfeld.
Yeah, that's right. I do want to make an announcement, though, that for this episode, at least in my head, I'm translating it to the prawn incident, because Australians eat prawns. It's not shrimp.
That's right, yes. It's funny because when we see that scene where Larry and Cheryl are about to eat the prawns, they look like, well, they're called shrimp, but they look like prawns over here, well, for what we call them. So yeah, it is a bit jarring for us Aussies.
They're the same thing. I think they're the same animals. They're just a different name. But it's something that Australians and Americans have always lightheartedly given each other shit about, is the difference in some words like prawns and shrimp. Yeah, so we don't put shrimps on the barbie and we don't have shrimp incidences. We put prawns, usually not even on the barbie. We usually put them on ice and we have prawn incidences. So just clearing that up before we get into the episode.
Indeed. Even though Paul Hogan did say in the 80s to put another shrimp on the barbie, no, we don't do that at all.
Yeah, I was in America maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and that was easily the most common question I got. Even if it was said in jest, you know, just to sort of rile me up. It's always like, so do you guys put shrimps on the barbie? No, we don't. Love Crocodile Dundee, but fuck you, Paul Hogan, forever.
Yeah, you ruined it for everyone, Paul. What are you doing?
You did. Poor form.
Poor form indeed. Poor form. Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Form? Oh, God. Anyway, let's crack on with the plot, shall we? So in this episode, Larry gets takeout food and he has a run-in with the same TV executive he's about to meet with to discuss his TV pilot idea. But after he gets home, he accuses the network exec of taking some shrimp from his dinner. And today's special guest cast, we have Julie Louis-Dreyfus. She's returning from season one as herself. Brad Hall, her husband, plays himself. Jane Carr plays Julia's manager, Fran. Alan Wasserman, he plays the HBO executive who shouldn't be allegedly steals the shrimps. She actually does steal the shrimps.
Oh, he definitely does.
He does, I know, because, you know, Larry goes to the restaurant and he's like, how many shrimp do you put in there? He asks the restaurateur and they say, oh, about 11 as per our policy.
Yeah, he stole 8 shrimp because there was only 3 when Larry picked up the food or swapped the food.
That's it, I know. And some other characters, Michael Hallbreich, he's played by Sam Pancake. Yes, that is his name. And Francis Callier plays the social worker in the very last scene of the episode. Anyway, buddy, let's jump into this one, eh?
Sounds good.
Scene one, Cheryl tells Larry that she wants to go out for dinner at a Chinese restaurant, another Seinfeld reference. But first wants to stop into another restaurant to have a drink. Larry argues that they can just have a drink at the Chinese restaurant. Why do 2 trips, he says. And I kind of get it too. I mean, you know how sometimes people have pre-drinks, but they might have pre-drinks at home or whatever, and then they'll go out to a restaurant. I do find it kind of weird when people want to go to like a hotel or a pub and have a drink, and then they want to go eat. Is that odd to you?
It depends on the location. So if the place you're going to for a pre-drink or a post-drink is nicer or better for drinking at than the restaurant that you're eating dinner at, I'm a fan of it. Mm-hmm. But if it's a place just to go to another place and it isn't any better or worse atmosphere-wise or menu-wise, yeah, it depends on the locations. And it also depends on my mood. Sometimes I do like going to a few different places for different vibes or different potential food options or drink options. But sometimes I just want to, you know, go out, eat and drink at the same place and come home. So a lot of variables in there. Can't really answer that question with one solid answer. How about you?
Yeah, no, I'm the same, man. I'd rather have a drink. At the very worst, have a drink at home and then go out. Or have it at the same establishment. Yeah, I'm on Larry's side. Once again, we're on Larry's side for the second week in a row.
Yeah, look, I'd say I'm in the middle. I'm not on either Larry or Cheryl's side. I do understand Cheryl's point of view, but I also understand Larry's. But I think just for the sake of trying to do something nice for your wife, which Larry rarely does, I think he should. In this case, I think if I were the person to make the decision in this situation, I would tell Larry to shut his mouth and just do something nice for Cheryl, because he puts her through a lot of shit.
Oh, yeah. And eventually they do divorce later on, spoiler alert. So
Yeah.
Cheryl has had enough of Larry's shit.
And as usual in this scene, Cheryl does resign herself to, Larry's, I guess, take about just going to the one place, and they end up just going to the same place. So, they end up even, they just just get takeout. They don't even go out.
Yeah, that's right. That led me on to the next scene. So Larry, they decide to do takeaway then, and Larry drives to the restaurant to collect his order. He drives back home, and Cheryl says that Julie Louis called to confirm their meeting at her office, because this time round, basically Larry is taking Jason's idea from last week, and he's going to try and pitch it to Julia, so to see how that goes. Cheryl complains about her elbow, and Larry suggests to get Jojo to come over to fix it. He's the masseuse. They're about to eat when Larry realizes that they didn't get the Kung Pao shrimp. They got garlic noodles instead. Cheryl insists that he go back to the restaurant and get the order fixed.
Yeah, that's happened to me before. I've picked up the wrong food, or an Uber delivery driver has given me the wrong food. Usually it's never a big deal. I've never been in the situation where I've received the food I'm supposed to get and part of it has been eaten. Have you?
That's happened to me before.
Really? Where you've received food that's been opened or eaten?
Oh, opened or eaten. No, sorry.
Okay. Sorry, received the wrong food before.
I received the wrong food, yeah. Like, there was this time where we ordered, like, chicken, and then we got, like, spicy soup. And I'm like, this is odd. But it was really good because Uber let us keep the food and they refunded us the money.
Huh.
You know, it was all right. So we end up eating the soup anyway, and then we got a round of chicken.
Yeah, right. I've got some friends here in Melbourne, and I just remembered that one of them put on Facebook maybe 2 weeks ago that their Uber Eats got stolen, and they suspect that it's this dodgy person who lives across the road, because about a month prior, they got one of those, like HelloFresh, or one of those like pre-made meal companies. You know, they deliver a week's worth of meals in a styrofoam box. One of them got a text notification saying the delivery was at their front door, and then they came home from work or wherever they were that day and the box was gone, and they called the company and they said, no, we definitely delivered it. We've confirmed with the postal company. We're not sure what happened. And then I think someone maybe saw this dodgy neighbor come over and like hang around in their front yard. I don't think they saw them steal the styrofoam box, but you know, a bit of a coincidence. And then like 2 weeks later, their Uber Eats got stolen. So this person across the road is obviously keeping an eye on deliveries and just ripping people's food off, which is just so dodgy.
That is so bad. So dodgy.
So scummy.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeez. It definitely sounds like a Curb storyline, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Larry's Uber. I'm sure that's a later season. It's probably a season 10 subplot in there. I haven't seen season 10 of Curb, but I'm sure they've done it, although they'll do it very soon. Maybe for season 11.
Yeah. Yeah, there's got to be something where, you know, Larry has a problem with an Uber driver for something insignificant, surely.
Indeed. Larry's back at the restaurant telling the hostess about his mixed up order, and she says that the other customer returned their food, and who happens to be HBO president Alan Wasserman. So they see each other at the Chinese restaurant. They exchange greetings and their meals before they both leave the restaurant. Larry arrives home to tell Cheryl about who he saw, and he tells her about a lie that he told him 2 years ago about his fake stepfather getting into an accident. You don't have a stepfather. Larry and Cheryl are about to tuck into their dinner when Larry notices that there's only 3 shrimp in the meal, and he claims that there's usually many more, and he suspects that Alan stole most of the shrimp before returning the order. Maybe he was your friend's neighbor, Alan.
Yeah, it could have been. Maybe my friend's neighbor watched this episode and thought they'd try it on.
Yeah.
See if they could get away with it. If you were in Larry's situation in this scene where you open up food expecting, you know, 10 shrimp, but you only receive 3, would you first assume that the person that you swapped it with had eaten the shrimp, or would you assume that the restaurant had made a mistake and it's just a coincidence that the food was also swapped as well?
I would assume the restaurant, yeah. I'm not as crazy as Larry. I'd probably think maybe the restaurant, you know, maybe they forgot to put as many prawns in, or something came up, or there was a shortage or something. Yeah, I'd approach the restaurant. What about you?
Yeah, before making an accusation. But
if they were vegan prawns, what would you
do? I'd just eat them and not order there again.
Nice.
I mean, I figure I've already had enough problem with this meal in terms of getting the wrong food. I don't want to complicate it. I'll just accept 5 or 8 or however many less shrimp and order. I just prefer the garlic noodles. I wouldn't have even cared about swapping it back. I would have been like, sweet, this worked out in my favor. Because I love, well, even if I ate shrimp, I would still prefer the garlic noodles, to be honest. So yep. I'd be good with that.
Fair enough. You would have got a good order. You would have just kept it and not said a word.
Yeah.
And then Alan over there would have eaten all your shrimp.
Yeah, and it would have worked out, because he obviously liked the shrimp. He ate 8 of them, so.
Yeah, it must be pretty good. Pretty fantastic. The next day, Larry's in JLD's office to pitch his previous idea he gave to Jason, as we mentioned. JLD is hesitant about it at first, but she's won over by the idea after telling Larry that if it's HBO that wants to sign it, then she can say words like fuck and cocksucker, things that you couldn't say on Seinfeld.
Yeah, I was also a big fan of Larry, you know, because he was very uncooperative with Jason when they were trying to arrange a fair meeting schedule, or you know, a location balance, I guess you could say. Mm. But JLD, you know, she's like, come over here. And Larry's like, no, come over here. And JL makes a comment of like, you're such a nice man all of a sudden. I thought Larry, you know, just trying to like almost like being worried maybe that Jason would tell Julia about how inflexible he was about where meetings were or weren't going to happen. He almost like flipped it on its head to try and be nice, to sort of, you know, to sort of almost like make up for the bad karma that maybe he thought he was getting from being a bit of a jerk to Jason in the meeting situation. So yeah, I just thought that was a nice little throwback to what episode was Jason in? Was that 2 episodes ago?
Yeah, for the last 2 episodes. Yeah, Thor and, oh, I forgot the other one.
Oh, Trick or Treat.
Yeah, Trick or Treat. Yes, Trick or Treat, and then Thor the week before. Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought that was a nice throwback that Larry is being extremely flexible, whereas he wasn't with Jason.
Yeah, and Julia saying in the scene that Jason, like this kind of role would actually suit Jason. That's when she's not sure that it should work. But then Larry, that it'll be on HBO, and then she'd be like, oh, I can say those words, so maybe I can do it.
Yeah, and because Larry's pissed off with Jason because it didn't really work out with him, he throws him under the bus and he's like, you know, Jason, you know, he's not. I can't remember what he says exactly, but he basically says that Jason wouldn't be good enough for this role. Like, you know, this is for you. Like, Jason can only do a George. He's not versatile enough. I think that's what he says.
Versatile, yeah. He can only do George. She suggests that Alan should pitch the show to Alan from The Night Before, but Larry says that he's a bad guy. She then suggests Michael Holbrook, who Larry suspects is gay, but Julia says that he is actually married. She invites Larry to a poker game at her place with Michael and some other couples, and Larry accepts the invitation. Meanwhile, Larry is at home where he sees Jojo working Cheryl's elbow really hard, and I love when he goes up to Jojo and Cheryl's in real pain, and then Larry's like, oh, she's got a huge pain threshold, just go as hard as you want. It's so mean.
Yeah, it's kind of mean, but I think it's kind of and this will sort of come up again in a later scene. I think it's like a showing of the, you know, because most of the time they're scenes where it's showing them being a married couple, it's Larry being difficult and Cheryl just either being frustrated or just giving up and going, oh, whatever. But when they show that they've got a bit of, you know, there's a bit of fun between them, and that Larry can sort of give her shit, even though it's mean in spirit, I think it shows a deep connection between them.
Yeah, you can see that they still have that connection despite all that.
Yeah.
Jojo goes to wash his hands as Larry tells her about Julia's invite for the poker game, and she's pretty keen to go as well. In the next scene, Larry, Jeff, Julia, and her manager Fran are in the waiting area at HBO to pitch the show. Larry runs the idea that Cheryl had about going to get a drink somewhere else before going to eat, and they're all on Cheryl's side of the argument. So there you go, a bit different to what I wanted.
I think the idea of this show, or this episode, sorry, and this particular issue, is that women tend to want to, and whether it's true or not, who knows, but, you know, I think they're trying to make the point that men would rather a more simple night out, whereas women want something a bit more elaborate and fancy. You know, we'll go here, and then we'll go here, and then we'll go here. Men will just go, well, I'll just put on a jacket, go eat dinner, and go home.
Yeah, us blokes are like, CBF, mate, CBF.
Well, yeah, like, we want to go out, but we want it to be simple, whereas women want something a bit more elaborate and a bit more, you know, with a bit more thought behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. A bit different. Venus and Mars, huh?
Yeah, that's it.
They're greeted by Alan, Michael, and another executive in the boardroom. Alan asks Larry about his stepfather, quote-unquote, and Larry says he, quote-unquote, has recovered. Jeff is about to pitch the show idea when Larry mockingly asks Alan how his garlic noodles were the other... Oh, no, sorry. Larry says to Alan how his garlic noodles were the other night, and he then accuses him of stealing most of his shrimp, and Alan denies it, and Larry storms out of the room, and boy, you think that Larry would just, you know, shut his mouth and wait until the meeting's over and then maybe approach Alan and ask him in private, but nah, he's got to find out then and there what happened.
Larry's minor issues always take precedent and ruin bigger, you know, they're trying to get through a meeting to get the show greenlit by HBO, which, you know, a lot of people have got a lot riding on, like Larry, Julia, I'm sure investors, and like there's a lot at stake in this meeting, but the only thing that's important to Larry is trying to get to the bottom of his missing shrimp. You know, classic selfish Larry, like, fuck everyone else here who's putting their reputation and their careers on the line for something that might fail. The only thing they care about is my shrimp.
I love when Alan says, you've got $475 million. Use it to buy your own fucking shrimp boat.
Yeah, that's a pretty good line.
Yeah, so good, so good. And Larry just storms out, and Julia, Jeff, and Fran chase after Larry near the elevator, and JLD says that he should be psychoanalyzed.
Well, it's true.
He should. I mean, she's in real shock. She thinks, man, I've got a chance to get out of this whole Elaine persona, and I can actually say swears while I'm on HBO, and the chance could probably be plundered just like that. or pondered just like that.
I think it's in this scene as well when someone calls him out for, I think Alan has said, you know, like, I don't believe that you had a stepfather who was sick, you know, accusing Larry of lying, which he was. And then someone says to Larry, like, why were you, you know, like, why are you mad at Alan? Like, you know, you both lied to each other. And he's like, yeah, but I don't like the sentiment. Like, even though he lied, he doesn't like being called out on his lying.
And even Jeff says in the scene, you don't have a stepfather. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And it's like, I don't like the sentiment.
Makes me laugh. I don't like the sentiment. Julia convinces Larry to apologize and he slowly walks back towards the office. At Julia's poker night, they're all playing and having a great time. And oh, man, what a scene this is. Brad, JLD's husband, suggests a game of guts, a winner takes all hand of poker. There's about $800 on the table when everyone except Julia folds and she wins the whole pot. They all show their cards and Julia has a 2 and 6. So basically she bluffed everyone.
Yeah, no, good move from Julia. And you can tell that she's not very experienced at poker because she's shocked. She just kind of lucked her way into winning that hand.
Yeah, kind of happened. She just bluffed her way in as well. Michael, the flamboyant man with his wife, he has the best hand of them all, an ace high. And Larry's like, you had an ace high. Why didn't you just go in? And the best thing is Larry's accosting and then Larry gets a bit too overzealous and then he calls him a C word. I'm not going to say the word because it's sensitive for many people, but he calls Michael a C word for not going in with that hand. And everyone is shocked at what he said because everyone hates the word, much like beloved aunt in last season.
Yeah, it is, especially in America. In Australia, it's still offensive to some people and it still is offensive in some circumstances, but it's thrown around a lot more loosely than in America. Yeah, but it's definitely an escalation in this episode. I thought the storyline would just maintain the HBO prawn garlic noodle swap story, but it kind of just deviates completely. Like this massive left turn when Larry goes, you know, you're a cunt. Like just out of nowhere, it's like, wow, like that's kind of the remainder of the storyline. It goes from like story A to story B just by him saying that word.
Yeah, and just stops it in its tracks.
Yeah.
And then everyone hates it. And then a dentist who Cheryl asked to see and his wife, they leave in a huff. And other couples leave as well because they're not happy with what Larry said. And Michael's is in shock as his wife is holding him. So it really affected Michael very much, as we'll find out later on.
Yeah, he calls Larry a misogynist. And he even says, you know, there are women at the table. They're offended and I'm offended as well. You know, I love how Larry's just trying to play it down, especially in the next scene when they're in the car and they fake, you know, Larry fakes beating up Cheryl and it's just like a little in joke. Between them.
That's what I was about to say. So they're in the car and Larry pretends to hit Cheryl and the dentist sees this and he thinks that Larry is hitting Cheryl for real from the angle that he can see and it reinforces the idea that he's indeed a misogynist. Larry and Jeff are at the restaurant the next day and he tells Larry that no one at HBO wants to work with him as they think he's a misogynist. And Jeff says that Michael had to take a leave of absence from the shock. So it really affected him being called the C word.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's because it's such a, well, it's not strong here. Like it's just used so flippantly here in Australia. Can't even wrap my head around that. But, you know, everyone's emotions are affected in different ways, so it's all good.
I think it kind of also adds to Michael's flamboyant, you know, queer kind of, you know, got closet gay kind of vibe that's given in the episode, you know, because there's all these things that make Larry believe that he's actually gay.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to reinforce the idea of, like, effeminate men are emotionally sensitive, which is complete bullshit. But, you know, it is, when did this air? 2001, 2002?
2001.
Yeah, and they're kind of making fun of that stereotype as well.
It was back in the day, you know, that kind of humor back in the day. But anyway, the important thing about the shrimp, Larry wants to resolve the shrimp incident and he asks the manager how many shrimp they put in their Kung Pao shrimp. And he says 11 as per their strict policy. And they have a very strict policy about it. So Larry and Jeff look at each other and they can conclude that Alan did indeed take 8 of the shrimp.
Yeah, I mean, it was never admitted to by Alan or it was never proved conclusively. But, you know, by inferring the lack of shrimp, he's definitely guilty.
Guilty as charged.
That's right.
Cheryl is at the dentist's office and he notices the bruises on her elbow and he thinks that Larry battered her. So, you know, the bruising that she got from Jojo when he was massaging her elbow. Cheryl denies it, of course, but of course, we think the dentist thinks that, you know, Cheryl's being gaslit by Larry. And he says that he knows a social worker who can talk to her and Cheryl is absolutely bemused by this.
Yeah, if this were to happen in real life, I would be very annoyed at just the presumptiveness of, is it Alan?
Oh, no, Alan's the HBO manager. This is the dentist.
Yeah.
I forgot his name. I think it was Mike.
Mike. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I mean, I understand why he thought he was doing the right thing by trying to, intervene into what he thought was a domestic violence situation. But the fact that he doesn't believe, like, Cheryl saying, oh, no, you've misunderstood. It's just a thing that we do. You know, it's all good. There's nothing for you to worry about.
Yeah, he thinks,
and the fact that he goes, I know. Yeah. And that happens from, you know, in real life. I get Michael's position, but I found it really frustrating about that he just sort of, he believed his own take and there was no room for any, you know, counterpoint. And he just went ahead and, you know, I think his heart was in the right place. I just don't think he did it in a respectful and sensitive way, especially toward Cheryl.
Yeah, oh, well, but I guess he was just being, you know, very cautious. And I love how he says this patient-doctor confidentiality. And then Cheryl's like, what even, but you're a dentist.
Yeah.
Does that still apply? But yeah, no, you're right. I mean, his heart was in the right place. But I mean, Cheryl knows this is all stupid and maybe nothing will come of it. Anyway, that'll happen in the final scene. But in the second last scene of the episode, Larry and Cheryl are out for dinner. He tells her about HBO cancelling him. She suggests that they go for dessert somewhere. And this brings up the argument again about whether you should go to two different establishments to have two different things or just do everything at the restaurant. And after arguing once again, they see Michael walk in with another flamboyant looking man.
Yeah, further adding to the mystery of, you know, whether he's, you know, which team he plays for.
which team he plays baseball for. Yes, indeed. Yeah, so anyway, the argument comes up again and there's the debate, and after a bit of toing and froing, Larry says, I'm just going to get dessert here.
Yeah, so again, it comes back to Larry's, what Larry thinks is best.
What Larry thinks is best. As Cheryl alluded to in Trick or Treat, his rules.
Yeah, yeah. This is one of the first episodes where pretty much every situation I haven't been on. I've either been in the middle or not been on Larry's side. Most of the time I am, but yeah, none of his positions in this episode I agree with.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, it's pretty hard to agree with him on many things.
Yeah, but I think we were talking about it last week or the week before, where I've realized that after a season and a half, the show's formula is basically three or four relatively minor sort of moral dilemmas presented in sequence. It's like, you know, the first act, the second act, and the third act are generally like, well, what's the right thing to do in this situation, then the next situation, then the situation after this. Most of the time I agree with, or at least understand Larry's point, even if I wouldn't do that same thing. But in this episode, I just think all of his choices are bogus. So I think this is the first time where an episode has that for me.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, I'm sure it'll be the first of many.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've still got 8.5 seasons to go. So lots of opportunities to be confused by and frustrated with Larry.
Absolutely. And sometimes with people around him.
Yeah.
In the final scene, the social worker turns up to Cheryl's front door after being told of domestic violence in the house. Cheryl denies this and she asks Cheryl if she would like to press charges. Larry drives in with his cap backwards and he's wearing some old daggy clothes and he walks towards the door while whistling a tune. And the scene ends with Cheryl thinking about whether she should do it or not. And I'm guessing because of the establishment debate that they had a couple of times, maybe she's thinking, oh, maybe I should charge Larry or, you know, get him in trouble just to teach him a lesson. Because she has that look of, yeah, oh, maybe I should.
Yeah, I think it's just to sort of get even a bit because she feels undermined by Larry always deciding it about how many places they can go to when they want to go out for dinner. And probably also the poker cunt incident as well. Yes. I mean, even though they were kind of making fun of it when they're at dinner in the previous scene, Cheryl didn't seem too bothered by it and she seemed to be on Larry's side. But I still think part of her thought, I just wish Larry would shut his mouth. He still kind of cooked that whole situation, especially for Julia and you know, anyone else involved. So yeah, I think it was the two reasons.
Well, he's put his foot in it once again.
That's it.
Anyway, that was the shrimp incident and that was episode 4 of season 2. I give this out of 5 Larrys, Stephen. 4 Larrys out of 5. You?
Okay, I give it 3.
3, okay. Yeah, I enjoy this episode more than last week, but you thought it was just all right, I guess?
Yeah, like it wasn't too bad. I had a few laughs along the way. Yeah, I think the from a, I guess, memorable storyline point of view, the first two acts are, you know, they're fine, but I think the cunt thing took it to a new level because, yeah, you know, it's a potentially explosive word and it further complicates things in this episode, but it just felt a bit jarring. It just didn't feel like it was in sync with the rest of the episode.
Yeah, it felt like there was just something they were thinking of. They're like, how can we diffuse this whole situation? Okay, let's start.
Like in Beloved Aunt, it made perfect sense because it was a typo and it didn't feel like an unnecessary or unexpected escalation. It definitely was. It didn't make me think, wow, where did that come from? It just felt like a natural step up. Yeah, so in this episode, I didn't think it was bad. I just don't think it was the right move. I just think it was a bit clunky, that's all.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I'm sure there's plenty more better episodes coming up in episode or season two. Anyway, this was another episode of Curbcast. Thank you so much for listening, and we're looking forward to giving you the rest of season two and the later seasons. You can reach out to us on social media or on our website or via email. All those details are in the show notes. My name is Ivan.
And I'm Stephen.
And we will see you next week for Curbcast and for Bidwell Bask. You take care.
Catch you later.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is part of Mishmash Media, an independent podcast network. Follow us on social media at Mishmash Media AU or support us on Patreon. All those links are in the show notes.